This is Talking Clean with Irene, a podcast for anyone like me who wants to kick the toxins out of their life and live a more natural and sustainable lifestyle. Join me as I unpack how to live toxin-free with insights from scientists, doctors, the creators behind those beautiful organic brands we love, and other experts. I'm your host, Irene Falcone. Today I'm speaking to Lisa Bronner, the granddaughter of Dr. Bronner, who founded this life-changing soap brand. Not only are they completely natural with a whole bunch of skincare benefits, they are also one of the solutions to our global waste crisis. I love Lisa Bronner for continuing this family business for us. I first met her in 2015, and so much of what she said to me then has really shaped my personal buying and cleaning habits today. In short, Lisa is the person who knows absolutely everything there is to know about natural soaps, soap making, and how to use them in every possible way around your home and your body. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show. Thank you for staying up late.
Thanks so much, Irene, for having me. It's great to talk to you.
I actually met you in 2015 when you came to Australia, and I got the pleasure to sit down and have a cup of tea with you and ask you some questions then. And some of the things that you had said to me in that catch up, I still think about almost every day, and they completely blew my mind. And I know I wrote a blog about it at the time, but there's so many more reasons now why Dr. Bronner's is so relevant today in 2019. So I wanted to get you back in front of me and ask you some more questions. Can I start by asking you, how is it that your soaps or your grandfather's soaps are so iconic? Like, how were they created back then, and how did they become so iconic?
You know, it's a story that spans such a long time and space that sometimes it blows me away myself. So the story of the Dr. Bronner soap, the Castile soap that we know today, spans two continents, a world war, the rise of the nuclear age. Like, all of this is part of our story. So my grandfather was Dr. Bronner, and he started making the soaps as we know them today in 1948 in the United States. But the story starts much further back. His great-grandfather started making soap in Laupheim, Germany in 1858. And he had 11 children in the soap-making family in this town. And when those children grew up, they didn't need another soap maker in Laupheim, so he moved down the road to a city called Heilbronn and founded a factory there with a couple of his brothers. My grandfather grew up in that factory. He grew up under the guild system, became a master soap maker, and so he had this in his legacy, in his blood. He left Germany in 1929 at the age of 21, really to pursue his own path. It wasn't yet because of the rise of Nazism or Hitler. His family was Orthodox Jew, but that hadn't become a problem yet. And so he had left Germany in 1929 and come to the United States because he wanted to pursue his own path. He had already felt that he wanted to look at a broader worldview that embraced more philosophies and ideas than his dad was willing to accept or listen to in the workplace. So he left Heilbronn and came to the United States in 1929. He worked as a chemical consultant to many different soap makers for a couple decades, married, had children, one of which was my dad. He was the youngest of three. And then World War II hit. He was watching this from afar, couldn't do anything about it except communicate with his family, encourage them to leave. His two sisters did leave Germany. One came to the States, the other ended up as part of the Zionist movement in Israel. Never convinced his parents to leave. They didn't think that their homeland would betray them. They felt that this would all blow over, Hitler will go away. And unfortunately, they were wrong. And his family perished, his parents perished in concentration camps. And coming out of that horror, my grandfather was very motivated beyond his profession. He was actually wanting to establish a philosophy that pointed out to people that we cannot continue to destroy each other because we are going to destroy ourselves. The nuclear age had arisen. He really felt that the next time there was a Holocaust, no one would survive. And so he wrote this philosophy that he called the moral ABC that pulled from every world tradition he knew that he had studied to show the similarities that we as people are more similar than we are different. Well, unfortunately, nobody really wanted to hear him. He kind of sounded crazy and he was very passionate, strong German accent, and people in general aren't all that interested in listening to a philosopher. But he would thank anyone who would come to listen to him by making some of this soap that he knew how to make from his family legacy. So people would come to hear him and he would give them soap. Well, eventually he noticed people would come, wait till the moment the soap was passed out and then leave. And they weren't staying to hear him speak. And so, exactly. And so he took his philosophy, he wrote it on the label, put it on the soap so that they would take it with them. And when they, you know, were in a position with nothing else to read, they would read his philosophy. And so the story of how the soap came to be is completely tied up in the history of our family, even the history of the world right there. The soap, the label, it all tied together.
Wow, you didn't tell me that in 2015.
I'm sorry, I can't even give you like the whole story all at once. This is even more, but.
Oh, my goodness. And is that philosophy that was on the soaps back then exactly the same words that are on there now?
Almost entirely. He was constantly tweaking it throughout his life. He would call me, he's so excited. We're almost done. We almost have the label completely perfect. It's going to the final version. And then, of course, he'd have another thought and he would change it. Just words here and there. And what was really astounding is that he actually went blind in the late 60s before I was born. And he had this in his head and he would still like change tiny words in it because he had this, you know, 6,000 word label just completely memorized. So the essence of it and the message of it, the structure of it is entirely intact. It's something that we will never change.
What is a Castile soap? How did he make it?
Castile is a traditional soap that was created first in the Castile region of Spain. It was created first by monks who used the local olive oil to saponify it into soap. Now, the soap making reaction is millennia old. We have records from thousands of years BC of soap making. Probably the first soap was made by the fats from the cooking pot overflowing down into the ashes of fire, and ashes are alkalines, and they react, and that's soap. That would be a pretty harsh soap from making it like that. But if you refine that process and control it a little more, you saponify an olive oil with a strong alkali like sodium hydroxide or potassium hydroxide, and you get soap. So the Castile soap has evolved a bit. It's still as important to have that olive oil base. We also use other vegetable oils. And so Castile soap now can incorporate other vegetable oils, but nothing synthetic and nothing animal based. Just pure saponified vegetable oils.
And did you always have the different flavors, or is that something that was introduced more recently?
My grandfather started with the peppermint. That is our iconic, our original soap. That was just a very personal, invigorating scent for him. And still, almost every product we come out in peppermint. Seven of the eight that we sell in the States had happened during his lifetime. And then, so there's been, I guess, five more that we've added since his passing. But so most of them he had done himself.
And they all perform exactly the same. It's really just the scent, isn't it? Every single one of them can be used for more than 18 different uses. Is that right?
Yes, they can. The base of the soap is exactly the same. You have this Castile base that's olive oil, coconut oil, and palm kernel oil with the addition of hemp and jojoba oil to make it the perfect soap for the skin. The hemp and jojoba specifically mirror the natural fatty acid profile in our skin. So if our skin is lacking some of its own fatty acids, your skin is drying, flaking, etc., our soap can help replenish that. So all of them have that same base. And then the baby unscented, that's it. There's no scent to it at all. You just have that base.
I saw something on your, I think it was your Instagram page, that someone had posted that they had acne and they were using the tea tree oil.
Exactly.
And they cleared up their acne. I didn't know you could use it on your face.
Yes, that is the wonderful thing about essential oils. Our soaps use only essential oils for fragrance. But it's not just fragrance. I mean, fragrance is important. We want it to smell nice. But many of these essential oils have therapeutic benefits. So tea tree oil is a great example because it has antimicrobial properties. So it can help balance out your skin. You know, acne, it's a form of tiny infections. And so tea tree oil is a natural antimicrobial and can help clear that out and balance the skin. You have peppermint oil with its natural menthol component, and that's very invigorating. It can wake up the senses. It's actually a drying oil. That sounds, I know, a little oxymoronic there, but it's actually an oil that can reduce oiliness if you're prone to that or you're doing things that are really hot, active, et cetera. So each of the essential oils has a therapeutic benefit as well as being wonderful to smell. Lavender oil, very calming there as well.
After I read that, a couple of weeks later, my chin was breaking out. It was really hormonal. I thought, I'm going to be mm-hmm. brave and I'm going to use this mm-hmm. on my chin. And I thought, oh, is this going to, you know, really go red and flaky and dry me out? And I kid you not, I can't. I don't need to convince you. It was so moisturizing and my chin did clear up. I just used it on a specific area. I use my normal cleanser everywhere else. And I couldn't believe it. I would never have thought that I could use that on my face.
Right. I mean, we're so used to in our industry nowadays, such specialized things, your facial soaps, body soaps, you might even have foot soaps, hand soaps. And so to have one product that can wash everywhere and is safe, gentle, and yet effective, very kind of counter industry at the moment. But my story is fairly similar. You'd think that I would have known growing up in the Bronner family, but I, of course, had to go my own way for a little while and try to treat my teenage acne with the latest product advertised that my friends were using, and it didn't work. And then eventually I was like, well, I might as well try our own stuff. And I used the tea tree and it worked. I'm like, oh goodness, I should have known.
Now, this is the thing I have to mention to you. I only use your soaps. I have your soaps in all of my bathrooms, in my bathroom at work, at home, my mum's bathroom, the kids' bathroom.
Fantastic.
I use it for washing my clothes, like my hand wash and the dish, everything. I literally don't have any other soaps in my life.
Super.
When I first started stocking your brand, I only stocked it because it was natural and we were looking for natural alternatives to the toxic crap that was in the supermarkets back then. This is back mm-hmm. in 2010. Back then, I wasn't really thinking about zero waste. Now we are in 2019 with, you know, everything that's happening with the environment and climate change and simplifying our lives and going zero waste. Your products have become, I think, more relevant than they ever have since they were started. Would you agree with that?
I think they have. And I mean, it's a bit of an example of the old being new again, or realizing the wisdom of ages past when people may do with less. And there was wisdom in that, not just necessity. You know, we're realizing that not only do we have this global catastrophe of waste where we keep shipping it back and forth across the ocean and dropping it in the middle. And waste is a huge issue that we're going to have to come face to face with. We've been too used to out of sight, out of mind, and, you know, being able to toss something and it gets swept away and taken away by a truck, and then we don't think about it anymore, but it's coming back to face us. So this thing about zero waste, it's grabbing the popular attention right now, as it should have all along. We wouldn't have gotten ourselves in the position we're in at the moment if we had been more mindful in the past. And so when you have a product that not only can do multiple things, so it cuts down on the number of products you need to buy, but it's also very concentrated. So a little bit goes a long way. You can get a bottle to last for months and months.
Literally a huge bottle must last 5 months. I mean, you need one drop mm-hmm. per shower mm-hmm. or yep. to do a load of dishes, one drop.
Exactly. The packaging is always the thing. You're not having to buy another package. We also encourage refilling if you can find that. But if you can't, just, you know, refill your own. I do recommend buying the larger size, not just to sell more, but just because then you can refill your own smaller bottles and not have to buy as much plastic. We were the first company in the United States to use a 100% post-consumer recycled plastic bottle. So our bottle itself is not using virgin resources. It's actually giving a use for this mountain of recycled plastic that isn't being used. We are able to use it 100% in our plastic bottles, which again are recyclable after the consumer has used them. So it all goes around. The paper in our bar soaps is also 100% post-consumer recycled paper and is biodegradable as well.
Back then as well, to have a full 100% post-consumer waste bottle was really innovative as well back in 2010.
Yeah, it takes a few extra steps because it has to be collected. It has to be, you know, cleaned, processed, et cetera. But it's worth it because we're not pulling from the earth unsustainable resources. And we're also providing a use for this surplus of recycled plastic that we have.
Now, I want to ask you about palm oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is another topic that I'm very passionate about. I know that there are some people that believe that palm oil in any form, regardless of being sustainable or not sustainable, is bad. And there are some stores that would, you know, refuse to stock your product because of the fact that it contains palm oil. I'd love to hear your opinion on palm oil and dispel some myths about palm oil, because it's not all bad. And I just, I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Well, one thing to think about is that an ingredient itself is not necessarily evil, although the process by which it's obtained might be. And so palm oil as a substance on its own is very versatile and not bad for our health. It's can be used in food products. It's used in a lot of body care products as well. The issue is that because it's such a versatile ingredient and there was such a demand for it, that producers of palm oil were reckless in how they were supplying the palm oil. And they realized there was money to be made in supplying palm oil, so let's get it as fast and as cheaply as we can, which resulted in a lot of clear cutting of rainforests, a lot of habitat destruction, a lot of burning. I mean, so many different ways that it was poorly produced. And so the whole ingredient got maligned because of the way it was being produced. The ingredient itself, though, is a great ingredient and very versatile. So Dr. Bronner's, and we've never shied away from a fight that we feel is worth fighting. And the palm oil one, we felt that we were willing to take on the consumer education component of using palm oil. We've done this in several different ways in our company. Hemp oil was another one that we decided, let's educate people and not just leave it out because they don't like it. Let's tell them why it's great. Palm oil is the same thing. So we have used palm oil in our Castile soaps, and we source our palm oil from a sustainable fair trade operation in Ghana, in Africa. So most palm oil that you see on the market is coming from Indonesia, from the Philippines, and it's often produced unsustainably through clear cutting, through habitat destruction. So we have decided to show how palm oil can be produced ethically and sustainably. The main animal that often gets the press with palm oil is orangutans. There aren't orangutans in Ghana, and we are using a process or a technique called dynamic agroforestry in our palm oil production in Ghana. Now, if you think about how nature never grows in a monoculture. You never see one thing growing in nature by itself, like fields of corn or fields of wheat. You always see things growing together. And often there's a benefit to the plants growing together. One of them is providing some sort of need that the other one has. And nature does very well. And so we decided to take that model with our palm oil production and to teach the farmers in Ghana how to incorporate this. Now, palm oil has been grown in Ghana for a long time, but not very profitably. There needed to be more education happening with the farmers. We do not own farms in Ghana. We only have a mill. And instead, we have partnered with small farms that are family farms and educating the farmers there. We have hundreds of farmers that we're working with now. We're teaching them that if you plant palm oil in conjunction with other crops, such as cacao, banana, and other crops that they benefit each other and increases the production across the board. You have the palm oil is a taller crop. You have these shade crops that are shading the ground on the bottom. They keep out weeds. They keep in water. They nourish the soil through having more biomass. They sequester carbon, which is pulling carbon out of the air, putting it back in the soil where it needs to be. And so they're working in tandem. And so this production that we have in Ghana is just showing how palm oil can be well done. And we have been as transparent as we can be with this. We have a great documentary about our palm production there. The operation is called Surrender Palm. We have decided to pursue fair trade certification, which is a very rigorous external certification where we invite certifiers in to examine our processes from the tree to the finished product to make sure that it's fair for the people involved, that people are being paid fairly, that it's nourishing to the environment and also nourishing to the community. And so I encourage people to look it up, see what we're doing there, see how it can be well done. Don't just throw out all palm oil. Instead, let's try to redeem this ingredient and do it well the world over. And then we can really be making a difference and fixing the problems that mankind has created.
I'll link that as well on to the show notes.
Super, thank you.
So just to be clear, there are no animals and definitely no orangutans hurt or even touched in the production of the palm oil in the Dr. Bronner's products?
Absolutely. There is none because there's no clear cutting. We're not clear cutting native habitat. Instead, we're revitalizing centuries old plantations. I mean, as I said, not us ourselves. We are teaching Ghanaians to do it themselves. And so we're revitalizing what's there. We're not taking virgin resources at all. So there's no habitat loss. In fact, I would say with this dynamic agroforestry that there's actually habitat created.
Yeah. So technically, by supporting Dr. Bronner's, buying Dr. Bronner's soaps over a different brand, even a brand that doesn't contain any palm, we're helping the banana trees grow, we're helping other agriculture, we're helping the fair trade communities, and we are supporting sustainably grown palm. So in reality, if more people supported only sustainably grown palm, then we wouldn't have the palm problem overseas that are hurting the orangutans. Would you buy into that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would. All of this is so interconnected. And we are well aware of this at Dr. Bronner's. Like, there's nothing that happens in a vacuum. And so in our world, we have these massive environmental issues that are happening where we have, you know, greenhouse gases that are in the air. Where did they come from? They came from the soil. And they often came, one of the greatest producers of our air pollution is our agriculture and the way that we have been raising our food. And this is why the greenhouse gases are becoming so much more intense, is a lot of it is through agriculture. And so agriculture is part of what created the problem. So let's use agriculture to help solve the problem by farming in ways that's pulling the carbon out of the air and putting it back in the soil. This is called regenerative organic agriculture. This is one of Dr. Bronner's latest activist campaigns. We are supporting a new certification called regenerative organic with the goal of reducing greenhouse gases the world over.
Wow. I always think if something isn't soaping up or sudding up, it's not actually working, and yours does really soap up. So I always feel like it's working.
Right. I know you know this in your head that the bubbles don't equal cleaning, but somehow we have really attached to them that bubbles equals cleaning. And I can assure you from a chemical perspective that that isn't the case. I can create bubbles that will not clean you and things will clean you without bubbling. But Dr. Bronner's, the Castile soap does bubble. So you get the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
The thing is that, I mean, we're using pure organic fair trade vegetable oils in the soaps. They do come at a higher cost to us and such. It's cheaper. If we were to use a synthetic detergent, if we were to use sulfates, and those bubble beautifully, like, you know, a sulfate detergent bubbles wonderfully, and that's why they're so popular. But they are not only often a petrochemical source, but they're not the best for our skin. They don't nourish our skin like a plant-based oil does, and they don't biodegrade necessarily. And so you've got problems on both ends with a synthetic detergent. The same thing with synthetic fragrances. Synthetic fragrances, which are everywhere, they're cheaper, they last longer, but they oftentimes have side effects that are very detrimental to human health, you know, hormone disruption, allergens, allergy inducers, and that sort of thing. So, you know, going back to nature is really the best for our health as well as the health of the world.
I've always been confused as to when we have access to plants and oils, you know, created by Mother Nature, why would we then go and make a synthetic version of it that was so harmful to our planet and our animals and our own bodies? And you explained to me how they came about and just blew my mind. Can you remind everyone where these chemicals came from and how are they there?
The chemical revolution really was a result of World War II. I mean, there was this massive war effort, a massive time of invention and industry to create weaponry, ammunitions, you know, atomic.
It's when they made the margarine, isn't it? Is that how margarine?
Yeah, also, absolutely. Yeah. Because there wasn't enough dairy, so they're looking for artificial, you know, sources. And it was innovative and it was exciting. And so part of it was it just capturing the public's imagination that, you know, look what mankind is capable of. We can invent anything and we can control it. So we thought, you know, it seemed like nature was unpredictable and uncontrollable. But if we synthesize things and make them all ourselves, we can control it. But that's really not true, because when we surround ourselves with synthetic things and we ourselves are natural, there's unintended side effects. And you don't see them at first. You see them down the road when you realize that our bodies actually can't process all this synthesized input. It doesn't know what to do with it. So it starts like shooting out strange reactions and inflammations and disruptions because it just can't process this input of chemicals. So what happened after World War II, after it ended, we kind of had these stockpiles of ingredients. We didn't know what to do with them and looking for markets and uses for them. And two surprising directions that a lot of these wartime chemicals ended up in were personal care products and agriculture. Fluoride is one example in the United States. There, I don't know exactly what in ammunitions fluoride was used for, but there was some reason that there was a lot of production of it that ended up being a huge surplus after the war. So what are we going to do with it? And what they decided to do with it, that since our bodies do need fluoride, it helps us to build healthy bones and healthy teeth. So let's put it in the water supply and improve everyone's teeth. Well, this was, I have to tell you, my grandfather's huge, passionate topic. One of them was fluoridating the water supply. He was passionately opposed to it because he saw it as a form of mass medication. Let's give everyone fluoride, whether they need it or not, regardless of their size, regardless of their medical history, if they're a sensitive population, regardless of if they're already receiving plenty of fluoride through their own lifestyle, let's just throw this all at them. And he saw it as a form of mass medication. And today, even that argument continues in the United States, despite the fact that about 85% of our water supply is fluoridated. And if you look back at the onset of that, it didn't actually start with concern for teeth. It actually started with, we've got this ingredient, what shall we do with it? It's kind of putting the wrong thing first. And so the rise of detergents in our body care products and other synthetic ingredients, that came about after the war as well. You had the slogan from Dow Chemicals called Better Living Through Chemistry. And this was very popular. As you said, margarine was seen as, you know, cutting edge.
And that, people are still eating it now.
They are. They are. Our body doesn't know what to do with it, though. It can't process those things. And so my grandfather was going just in the opposite direction. You know, any sort of marketing professional would have told him, you know, you're not really going to capture people here. Because at the time that Better Living Through Chemistry was the slogan, he was talking about, let's get back to nature and use natural ingredients on our body and also in our food. So if you look at and read the ingredients, you're not going to be able to pronounce them. You're going to see sulfates. You're going to see ethoxylated ingredients of all sorts. You're going to see, you know, things you can't pronounce. They're synthesized, and many of them are not the best for our health. And some of them are really just downright hazardous. And one of the things that I remind people is that personal care products kind of fly below the radar. They're not drugs, and so they don't get the oversight that pharmaceuticals get. And so a lot of the ingredients that we have in our personal care products haven't been well researched. They're generally regarded as safe. That's a term used in the States for many ingredients because there hasn't been a reaction amongst the public. But they're not tested in a controlled way. They're really just tested on the public. And so sometimes there have been reactions that people have realized, oh, wait, that one's not safe, but it's been out there on the market for years, maybe even decades. And a lot of people have been exposed to it. We have skyrocketing rates of health problems, skyrocketing rates of hormone imbalances, of allergies, of even neurological and behavioral disorders. What is causing this? And people are realizing that as our chemical exposure has also skyrocketed, that these two are actually related. And so study after study is starting to come out that's showing that we need to take a closer look at what we're exposing our bodies to on a daily basis through the ingredients in our personal care, things we don't even think about.
This is absolutely mind-blowing. Every time I speak to you, I learn so much, so much more. I need to not leave it years in between next time.
Well, there's so much. Everything's changing so fast and there's always so much work to be done.
Absolutely incredible. Now, you've got a blog. Tell us about that because I'll link to that as well in the show notes because that's a great way to keep up with what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Yeah. So I write a blog called Going Green with a Bronner Mum, lisabronner.com. And the Going Green blog, I'm really speaking to people in their daily lives. We need this global activism and that is wonderful. But we also as individuals in our homes need to be making daily decisions to detoxify our homes and our lives. And if people do this on an individual basis, it will make a profound impact on our environment. So my blog talks about everyday things, using Dr. Bronner's products sometimes, but many times I'm just talking about simpler ways to live, to reduce our chemical exposure, to simplify our lives, you know, to make do with less and that sort of thing. So I'm really talking to busy people who don't have time to go out and track down all this information. My goal is to make it simple, straightforward, easy to grab so they can get what they need and put it into practice.
Wow. Lisa Bronner, thank you firstly for continuing the Dr. Bronner's brand. It's just something that could have fallen away if his grandchildren didn't continue that tradition. So we are so grateful for having access to your products. And thank you so much for being on my show.
It is my pleasure and privilege. Thank you so much, Irene.
Bye. Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Nourished Life, Australia's home of toxin-free shopping. To learn more and get all the show notes, visit us at nourishedlife.com.au. If you have any feedback about the show, you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram at Nourished Life, which is all one word. Don't forget to subscribe to Talking Clean with Irene in your podcast app. And finally, if you like what you hear, please give me a 5-star review. It really helps other people to find the show. I'm your host, Irene Falcone, and I'll speak to you next time.